clap this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We're drinking from that river this morning. Amen. God bless you, musicians. Nice to be back together once again. I do have another prayer request to include our brother Mike Walls, who pastors the church in the Washington, D.C. area. Asked us to pray for a sister in her church. She's the wife of the song leader, and she had her fourth child late last week, and after delivery, she was screaming and was having great pain in her head and complaining of headaches, and so they ran tests on her, and bottom line is they found a large tumor in the back of her brain somewhere, and they said it's too big to operate on, and so the doctors don't have a lot of hope, but we serve a great physician, and we know that he has the last word. He's more than able to do it, so we just want to bring her, her name is Solis, so we want to bring her before the throne, her husband Michael. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read verses 51 through 55. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at the 51st verse. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So it's twinkling of an eye is something that happens so fast that you're not even aware that you're blinking your eye. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, meaning this flesh, must put on incorruption, and this mortal, so corruptible and mortal are not the same word, else why would he say it twice with two different words? The corruptible is your flesh, and mortal means subject to death. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In other words, no longer subject to death. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, as we come before you, we know that there are needs that are already brought before you, but we'd like to bring one more, Lord, before the body this morning. We know that there's a sister, Solis, back east, Lord, and you know the situation, you know all the circumstances, but nevertheless, we're to speak it out in this dimension. And Lord, we know that the doctors have found a tumor and they don't know what to do about it, but Lord, you are the great physician, and we're trusting in you. We're looking to you for all things, and we just ask that you would undertake on behalf of our sister and Father, on behalf of the family and the new baby and the other children. Father, we're just looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith. You do all things well. We trust you in all things, Lord. And we know that nothing can take place except you allow it. And we know that we have an appointed time, but we also know that we have a promise, Lord. So we bring our sister before you, and we ask for your healing virtue to flow through her body. And Father, for this life of this tumor to leave her body, and for the tumor to shrink, and for the swelling to go down in her brain, Lord, and for her to regain consciousness. And Father, we give you all praise and honor and glory. And Father, for any other needs that haven't been spoken here this morning, we just bring those before you as well. And we're thankful that we serve a living God this morning, that it's not just something that we gather together to talk about philosophy or ideas, but we serve a living God. We love you. We want to serve you and give you praise and honor and glory in everything that we say and do. Bless your people now, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So you might have noticed this morning that they're doing some, I guess they've been doing something for quite some time. I say doing something, you know, put markers out there and then leave them for, I mean, they've been out there for how long now? But now they're actually doing some digging there, and it's a little frustrating that they don't talk to the businesses and let them know exactly what they're doing. But you probably noticed that if you tried to drive in this entrance over here, that there's a hole out there, so probably not a good idea. Don't know how long it's going to be. I would expect they'd probably have that fixed sometime next week, but just be aware of it, that chances are we'll see the same thing happen on the other side, that other entrance, once they get this place patched up. So I'd like to read also from Daniel, the 10th chapter, and we'll read the first verses 10 through 13. And our subject once again is Kingdoms at War. And this would be our third part in this series, Kingdoms at War. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So he's not to bow to this angel, he's to stand up. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Again, skipping down to verse 19. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? In other words, do you know why I am come to you? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning. So in this account in the book of Daniel, how is it that we know that this is true? How do we know that this took place? Daniel's the only one that had this visitation at this time. Nobody else was with him. Nobody else could tell us, I second that. All we have is his word on it. But of course, we know that Daniel was specifically made from his mother's womb. He was fashioned in such a way that he could see into what we would refer to as what we would term the fourth dimension and beyond. And we know that Daniel was a prophet and a mouthpiece of God made in a certain way. We know that a prophet is a man who's born with his conscious realm and his subconscious realm right next to each other in such a way that they can dream with their eyes open while they are awake. Now, that's not to be confused with, we once had a young man in the church that sat on the front row, and he could sleep with his eyes open. We're not talking about that. He was truly asleep. He was, but a prophet can actually dream or see a vision with their eyes open, to the point that they struggle sometimes to determine, is this reality or am I having a dream or a vision? Because it's just as real as reality, what we call reality in this dimension. So God pulls back the curtain and God allows his prophet to see into this other dimension that's beyond the first three dimensions of what we call space, time, and matter. And the fourth dimension, as we discussed last time, is it consists of electromagnetic waves, radio waves, light, cosmic, and otherwise. And it's a dimension where the past, the present, and the future can be seen in a single moment of time, can be seen all at once. Time doesn't actually, isn't a factor there. And so God pulls this curtain back on the fourth dimension, and a prophet sees, and thus he is called a seer. And then he tells the people what he saw. He doesn't create what he's seeing. He doesn't make it happen. He's merely reporting on what it is that he saw. So just for a moment here, I don't know how much this is going to help to clear this up, but what do we mean by the word dimension? If you Google it, you better be prepared to get all kinds of explanations, because there's lots and lots of, it can have many, many different meanings. For instance, in mathematics or in physics, a dimension is something that has properties that can be measured. For instance, length or width or height or time or temperature or mass or luminosity. So the word dimension is often used in reference also to places, and sometimes a combination of both. In our case, the way that we're using that word dimension, it's referring to what we'll call, for lack of, it's really hard to describe, because the things that we're talking about are really kind of beyond our understanding why we are constrained in time. But in our case, it's referring to realities that exist that are perceived and that have their own unique characteristics. And I know that's still pretty broad, and I know that's still pretty abstract. So let's see if we can narrow it down just a little bit more. Because if you look at modern physics, you know, they'll talk about 11 different dimensions, but they're not talking about dimensions in the sense that we're talking about it. So we know that we live in time, and we know that time is temporary, and that time inhabits a small space in eternity. And we know that we are made of matter, and we know that we inhabit what we call space. We occupy a position in space. We know that light exists, and we know that light can be described as a particle, and light can be described as a wave, but actually it's both. But you can't, you can't measure both the wave property or the particle property at the same time. It just shows that it's in another dimension. And we know that we have a spirit, and we know that that spirit comes from somewhere, right? We know that it lives. We know that it inhabits somewhere. And we know that when this body is laid down, before this body is laid down in the dust of the earth, we know that that spirit goes somewhere. We know that when we dream, Brother Brown tells us, you are somewhere. And we are seeing someplace. And we have a soul that's quickened to life, and that soul came from somewhere. And that soul exists somewhere. And that soul will go somewhere. And we know that God exists somewhere. And we know that hell exists somewhere. We know that angels exist somewhere. We know that visions are seen somewhere. So when we speak of the word dimension, and as Brother Branham uses it, we're really thinking of it as realities or spaces or places. So Daniel sought the Lord in prayer, and God heard his prayer, and God sent the mighty angel Gabriel to speak to him. Wouldn't that be something? You pray and Gabriel shows up. Yep. What can I do for you? But Gabriel didn't show up right away. It was 21 days before Daniel even knew that Gabriel had been on his way. He had to fight his way through demons, which are fallen angels, in order to get to Daniel. And obviously that's in another place, which we'll call a dimension. And as we've looked at, we know that before God created the three dimensions of space and of time and of matter, and before he filled these dimensions to express his thoughts in a physical manifestation, God first created himself into his own creation. He created what we call the Logos. It was a word body that he then poured himself into. And Brother Branham referred to it as the Son of God, as John did as well. So God created angels then at various levels, and he created other beings such as seraphims and cherubims and so forth. And we have really no idea how many other angelic beings that God has created, and we don't really need to know it right now. But they all have different levels, different positions. They're not all doing the same thing. But we do know that there is an order amongst these angelic beings, which are spirit beings, if you will, with some even having a place for a soul. And we know that God created two mighty angelic beings in particular, known as Michael and Lucifer, and they were the overshadowing angels that Moses saw in vision. And then what he saw in vision from that other dimension, he then fashioned their images in gold and placed them over the ark that he saw in vision, which was created here on the earth. He placed them over this Ark of the Covenant. And these great beings were the protectors of the Word, or the overshadowers of the Word. And they were very much alike in many ways. In fact, Lucifer was the most beautiful of the angelic beings. And Lucifer was shrewd and wise, is shrewd and wise, and was musical and was similar to Michael, except he lacked the creative power that Michael had. And one day, he was lifted up in pride and was jealous of Michael and of the Spirit of God who dwells alone in the seventh dimension. We say that because no man has ever seen God at any time, neither will they, because he's a spirit. And they, being in the sixth dimension, if you will, with the rest of the heavenly host, could not see God in the seventh dimension, of course. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15, Ezekiel says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created." Of course, God doesn't make junk, right? "Until iniquity was found in thee." So we know that Lucifer exalted himself above the word of God. We know that Lucifer exalted himself above God. And we know that as a result, Lucifer caused a rebellion in what we will call the heavenly dimension. And he managed to draw a third of the angels in the church to himself and was then kicked out of heaven. He was kicked out of what we will call the sixth dimension. And he and his followers, they were banned from heaven. They were banned from this dimension. And they were sent to another domain that is characterized by darkness. And the sun of the morning star, is now cast into outer darkness, Lucifer. And we see that the pattern of what took place in heaven is repeating again in the lower dimensions, to where it is ultimately manifested in human flesh on the earth, although it is not a flesh and blood battle that is taking place, but it is taking place in flesh and blood. It's a battle that's taking place between two kingdoms. One is a kingdom that's characterized by light. The other is a kingdom that's characterized by darkness. And both have kings, and both have a hierarchy, and both have principalities, and both have powers, and both have positions. And we found out that there are elect angels who never left their first estate. And we saw that there were angels that made their choice, and they fell from their first estate, but they still have created positions, dominions, and power. And we know that Lucifer had a soul. Our prophet told us that. And was therefore able to choose and to sin. And he chose to become sin when he exalted himself above God. And he became known as Satan and the devil after that. And he is the father of all evil. And we also know that some angelic beings were made in such a way that they were created to be vessels of honor. And they could not fall. Some were created to be vessels of dishonor. God did not create evil, but he did create Lucifer, who then chose to take God's ways and try to pervert them. Satan cannot create, so he did not come up with something new. He can only pervert. Taking the right acts and doing them contrary to the word of God or the will of God. So in our text in Daniel this morning, we see this fallen angel who is known as the prince of the kingdom of Persia. And this demon was given jurisdiction over the land of Persia and was the political power that ruled over that kingdom. And we see that this fallen angel resisted Gabriel for 21 days until Gabriel enlisted Michael to come and help and broke through the barrier. And Daniel was then strengthened by this angel. And then this angel goes back to fight again and tells Daniel that the prince of Grisha will be the angel that he will have to deal with later on. So this morning, we're going to speak again on this other world, if you will, this other dimension that is right around us, even as we speak. It's not something that we dwell on normally because the kingdom of light or the kingdom of heaven, of which we are citizens, that's our focus. Look to the light rather than looking upon the works of the darkness. So, just as we launch off into this morning, there's nothing to be afraid of. And we know that whenever subjects of such as demonology are spoken about, we know that it makes people a little nervous. But don't worry, we aren't summoning up demons this morning. And we aren't going to cast spells. And we're not going to break out the Ouija board. But in this series, we find out that it is helpful to know how these other dimensions operate to our limited ability and the laws that they work by and how they can affect us. Now, we are extremely grateful this morning that most of us aren't able to see into this other dimension, and therefore we don't see what's taking place in that other realm right in front of us. Some of us get glimpses of this other realm in dreams or in visions, and the kingdoms of this earth are all ruled by this fallen angel that was once known as the Morning Star. This one that offered Jesus the kingdoms of this world for the price of Jesus just to bow down and worship him. And yet, at the same time, we are affected by that other dimension every day. And we can see the physical manifestations around us of these two kingdoms that are clashing. One is being cast down. One is coming. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that all politics are controlled by the devil. But we know the devil is controlled by God. And when these devils who are over certain nations, they get jealous of devils that are over other nations, well, then wars break out here on the earth. It's not men that are fighting against men. It's spirits and powers and principalities from on high. It's not flesh and blood, but it manifests in flesh and blood. But we also know that our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, was sent to destroy the works of the devil and to set the captive free and to establish another kingdom amongst men. So here we are in the closing hours of the Gentile dispensation, and we are in the middle of the greatest battle ever fought. And that battle, the battleground, as we've looked at, that's raging this morning, it's raging in our minds. God chose the heart as his dwelling place, and Satan chose the mind to be his dwelling place. And so it doesn't mean that he's always dwelling in your mind, but he has access to your mind. And we know that your mind is dominated by reasoning and imagination and conscience and affection and memory and so forth. But God lives in the soul. He chose the soul of man to be his dwelling place. And he reveals to his children his word in the soul. And his word cannot be defeated. Amen. Satan's desire is to inhabit the soul of man And when you were born in the natural, all of us, being born of a woman, we were all born in sin, and we had a fallen nature in the soul. But once a person is born from above, or as we would say in modern terminology, it's actually born from above, born again by the Spirit, that place in the soul is now the dwelling place for God alone. And it is sealed, and Satan has no access to it. And that's where the real you exists as well. So even though the human mind is still affected by what's taking place with the kingdom of darkness and can still be tempted by thoughts that come from the kingdom of darkness, as is the flesh of man can still be attacked with sickness and sorrows and heartaches and so on and so forth, death even. But the soul is sealed, and there's no one in there but God and his son or daughter that's born again by his Spirit. And in that realm is faith. In that realm, you believe. In that realm, there's no spot, wrinkle. There's no charge that can be brought against you. In that realm, you are a believer. In that realm, you came from the mind of God. You are now manifested in flesh, and you will return to God. And you will accomplish what you were sent here to do. And there will be no charge against you. Now, we don't know how long after the creation of angels that Lucifer one day got jealous. And the Bible doesn't tell us what took place to cause it one day. But we do know that Michael was given a certain inheritance and a position. And one day, Lucifer got jealous, even though he had a tremendous inheritance himself. Friends, once a man is injected with the poison of jealousy, he can't handle somebody else getting a position or getting attention. He wants all of the attention himself. And a war started because of this. So if we watch God later in his making of the other dimensions that you and I are dwelling in right now and are contacting right now, when he made the earth and when he brooded over it in the beginning, we can gain a lot of insight into his plan and his nature and how he works. So in Genesis chapter 1, we read in the first verse, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, saw that light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." So at this time, what Moses is relating to us, the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe already exists. But the earth is in a raw form, and vapors and clouds block the light that's coming from the sun and is reflected by the moon. It's blocked from the earth. There's something between the earth and these light sources. And then God began to roll back the chaos, if you will, regardless of whether some would say that when God created the earth, it was perfect, and then Satan, when he was cast down, he perverted it, put it in a chaotic condition, and then God restored that condition. Regardless of whether that's what took place or whether this is God's taking something and molding it and shaping it, what we are seeing here is God dealing with darkness that's on the face of the earth. That's what's important this morning. And that's what we can be sure of. And seeing how God does this, and then looking at Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14, we see that God is giving us a preview of what is going to take place on the earth. God divides the light from the darkness, and he calls the light day, and he calls the darkness night. Moses sees by vision the earth when it was in a chaotic state. Perhaps the earth was, as we said, in another state prior to Lucifer and his angels being cast down from another dimension to the earth. But Moses sees it in this state whereby it is characterized by darkness. And then he sees God bringing in light, and he segregates darkness from the light. We know that when the Spirit of God begins to brood over the earth, darkness initially is everywhere hanging over the earth. And yet there are seeds that are laying in the earth, placed there by his spoken word. And we also know that there are elements that make up our bodies that also were laying there in the earth, waiting to be called forth. You see, God has a plan for this earth. And God has to drive away darkness in order for light to strike the preordained seed that he has sown. And the earth is, in type, is the female, and God is the male, if you will. He previously planted his seed, and the earth then is the bedding ground from which his seed will come forth. And his spirit would then brood over it and call it forth. He's planted seed of various life forms. And he commanded that each seed would bring forth after its own kind. So there eliminates any, you know, if Darwin would have just read his Bible a little more carefully, he would see that in the very first chapter that it's not possible for the theory of evolution to actually be fact. He never did prove it. And it hasn't been proven to this day. But he would have read that let each seed bring forth of its own kind. That's not evolution. That's each seed very distinct. And ultimately, God will bring forth sons and daughters in his image and after his kind from spoken word seed that's planted in bedding ground that he will then brood over. We know that Brother Branham describes when God formed a body for Adam here on the earth, he said his toes were down into the earth like roots. But notice, God could have done away with darkness altogether. Think about it for a moment. He could have said, okay, let there be light and there's no darkness. But instead, he says, let there be light. And that light moves upon the darkness and drives the darkness into a place that we call night, and that's where darkness exists. He could have created a 24-hour day, if you will, where there's no night. But he doesn't do that, giving us a glimpse of what his further creation will involve. So now we have two regions, so to speak. One is called day, which is dominated by light, and one is called night, which is characterized by darkness, or put another way, the absence of light. And he makes a way for the light of the day to exist, even in the darkness of night, by the reflection of that light from the moon. But there are cycles of the night that are without light also, where the moon is hidden between the earth and the sun. Or the earth is between the moon and the sun, so there's no light coming from the moon. The earth was once turning on its axis when God originally created it, such that the temperature was the same on the earth. And night and day and the equator were equal, at the equator were equal periods of time. You had 12 hours of daylight, you had 12 hours of night. And the earth rotated around the sun under the law of contrast, day and night. And Satan has fallen, and Satan was cast out of heaven. But initially, there was no earth to go to. He was cast into a dimension that was lower than the one that he was cast out of. Now, don't worry about whether we can totally understand or picture it. Just recognize that there are places that God has created for certain things to exist. So he lived in that place with his angels, and he could move about in that place and also into the lower dimensions. They were held in a dimension that allowed them to move through time and space, but yet there wasn't a molecule created. They were moving in a dimension that is unseen by our naked eye, but would allow them to access the other four dimensions that we speak of as time, space, matter, and light. They could access these other dimensions when they were laid out and stopped by our Creator. And that dimension that they live in has an influence on the realm or the dimension that you and I live in. And God knew that the fall would come in heaven, and that Michael and his angels would withstand Lucifer, and those that were with Lucifer and the church split would be sent off with them. And we know that Revelations tells us that at the end of the ages, this battle would rage between these two kingdoms once again, but in other dimensions as well. These angels were made in such a way that they could choose right from wrong and could choose whether to stay in the original positions that God made for them. Some of them made their choice to leave the position that was given to them, which is the original expression of the word. And we read last week where this kingdom of darkness that they were banished to, it has rulers, principalities, powers, positions, and that everything on this earth fell when man fell from his position as well. The earth was created to be the domain of man, not the universe. That's God's domain. And so Satan really isn't concerned about the universe as much as man is, apparently. But the domain of man is Satan's focus. So God created this earth for a divine purpose, and he created it to be the dominion of his offspring. And therefore, this earth cannot be destroyed because this earth is in the book of life. And the earth is the female part that has a name and would receive the spoken word seed of God. And God's not going to destroy his spoken word seed. God does not annihilate this planet. This planet must be redeemed back to her original condition, just as man is being redeemed back to his original position. So God doesn't wipe it out and start all over. He doesn't make mistakes. He's a restoring God. Ephesians 3:10, Paul says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So when Paul talks about heavenly places and uses these words, they can be used to refer to fallen angels, and they can be used to describe those angels that did not fall and that remain in the presence of God. And we know that God chose his church to display the attributes of the heavenly here on the earth. And we know that Paul spoke of different heavens, different levels. So imagine a demon, if you will, this morning, called the Prince of Persia, that an angel that never fell couldn't get past. Showing you the authority, the position, the principality, the power that was given to this angel even before he fell. And a son or daughter of God standing on the earth today, born again of his spirit, has more authority on the earth than this angel that could never fall, or this angel that is over Persia. Can we see what the blood of Jesus has done for us, friends? What Gabriel could not do, the Holy Spirit that is typed as Michael enables us to do in this last day. What the angels of God could not do, the Word and the baptism of the Holy Ghost gives us the power and the authority to do this morning. So the night is left on the face of the earth, showing that the dominion of Satan will one day have an effect on the earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4, Paul says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. It has no part in us. We have no part in it. My Father is light, in other words. There's a part of me that's made in the image of the earth. But the seed in me is a child of the light. There are those that can walk around light and never come into the light. But if that seed of God is in your soul this morning, friends, that light will capture you eventually. That light will find you. That light will quicken you. That light will draw you into that light. And there aren't enough devils, there's not enough darkness to keep you away from the truth. The truth will find you and will set you free. And you will be free indeed. So we know that the sun is setting for the Gentiles, and that we know that darkness is now gathering together to press against the light. Actually, it's the other way around. The light is pressing against the darkness. And we know that for darkness, this is their hour. It's dark. Gross darkness is upon the land. This is their hour. God allowed night for a purpose, and that purpose will be fulfilled. But we are not of the light, the night. We are of the light. I once walked in darkness, and I hate everything about it. I hate the roaches that run around in the dark. I hate the spooks. I hate the torments. I hate running into stuff. I hate the fear. I hate the unknown. I hate the evil of the night. We were once dead in sins and trespasses, as all others. We were no different. We were in darkness. But you hath he quickened. And you have been translated into another kingdom. And that kingdom that you're translated into is characterized by light. And light is not head knowledge. It's revelation. It's not what's revealed to your brain. It's what's revealed to your soul. And only God can reveal it to you. So Satan hates light. But we love it. Especially the light of this hour. He hates that more than anything. Because the light of this hour exposes the sin of this hour. It exposes his Eden for what it is. Friends, if I preached Luther's message only, Satan would never bother me. He's not bothering the Lutheran church. If I preached Noah's message alone, Satan would leave me alone. But the light of this day, one of the things that it does is it exposes the sin of this day. It rightly divides light from darkness. And it presses against that darkness. And darkness has to flee. It shows us God's plan for this day. And this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice. And I'll be glad in it. Not this is the night. This is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. I'll not go around complaining, oh, Lord, just get me out of here. It's so depressing. It's so dark. It's so this or that. No. If that's you this morning, you might need to get born again. Or you might need to get some new glasses to get refocused. Because you are no longer in darkness. You are in the light. And you're walking with him. What's spooky about that? What's scary? There's where your comfort comes from. There's where your peace comes from. There's where your joy comes from. There's where your overcoming comes from. When we're in the darkness, yeah, those are the things that we feel and experience. And yes, those things are still all around us. But I'm not in the darkness anymore. I'm in the light. And I'm walking in the light, as John said, as he is in the light. Somebody say, praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Oh, I feel so sorry for you. You're a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a holy nation. In other words, set aside for God, a peculiar people. Well, I knew that.
that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into this horrible, depressing, discouraged. Devils, I just want to put you on notice. I know that you're depressed. I know that your expected end is not a happy ending. But you have no part in me and I have no part in you. And every born again son or daughter of God in this building this morning or listening in, they have a bright future. They have an expected end. This light that we're walking in, friends, it's not burdensome. It's liberating. And it's marvelous. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, so they were in one place, and now they're in another. Are you with me? And delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. Now, the meaning of to be reserved from the Greek, so kept that they cannot escape. Sounds like a prison, doesn't it? Okay, here's where I'm going to put you. You can't leave. Unto judgment, that of the last day, the time of their full torment, in which the wrath of God, which they feel in great measure now, will come upon them to the utmost. So they're tormented right now. And they try to influence you. And when they try to influence you, they try to bring their torment with them and work on your feelings. And they try to convince you that you're the one that's feeling that. They're moving on your feelings. But you need to recognize, wait a minute, that's not me. That might have been me when I was dead in sins and trespasses, when I was lost, when I was out in the world, when I didn't know up from down, in from out, when I didn't know who I was, where I came from. And I was in darkness because I didn't understand anything. But that's not me now. I'm a child of the light. I'm a child of the King. Everything's going my way. And they lived happily ever after. Not miserable, happy. How long are you going to hit on that? I'm going to hit on it until those demons can't even make it through the door. Amen. And if that's bothering you, you need to pray up a little bit before you come. And recognize that something's trying to keep you from your blessing. Now, these angels, they weren't going out hanging out in bars and committing adultery, but they sinned. They fell from their first estate. And friends, there is no redemption and there is no plan for redemption for the angels. They get one opportunity. They had it. Now they are reserved for judgment. There's no hope. If you're sitting here this morning feeling like there's no hope, let God show you the hope of glory that's within you. Because hell wasn't created for you. Hell was created for Satan and his angels. And there is no hope. And yet even they dare to hope. So these angels were cast into this other place that we will call hell. It's a lower realm from where they were at. Also, other similar words in the Bible used to describe it as Hades or Sheol. Originally, there were two sections in what we call Sheol. And everybody that died went to that dimension. The unrighteous are tormented in chains of darkness while the righteous, they were waiting for the kinsman redeemer to come and to set them free. And a gulf existed between those two regions. And if you were in the region that was waiting for Jesus to come and set you free, you could hear the cries from across the gulf, from the place that was hopeless. In this realm were cell blocks for certain types of beings that manifested certain natures. These cells were already created before Lucifer rebelled in heaven. Think about that. God created the dimension, created the cell block, created the constraints, made the chains, showing that God was not surprised. This is all part of his plan. God knew what would take place. But God had a plan in all of this, and he had a desire, and he had a way to express himself through the law of contrast. And it's through the law of contrast that we actually can know God. Because if everything was the same, how would you know what's God and what isn't God? It would have no meaning. So the angels, they did not know the character of God. And they didn't know the ways of God, like even a fallen a son of God, certainly a redeemed son or daughter of God does. Angels will never sing redemption song, even though 2/3 of them never fell. And who knows how many of them there are. So God cast these fallen angels into this dimension or place that we call hell. And in the Greek, Tartaroo, from Tartaros, the deep abyss of Hades. The name of the subterranean region, doleful and dark, regarded by the ancient Greeks as the abode of the wicked dead, where they suffer punishment for their evil deeds. It answers to Gehenna of the Jews, to thrust down to Tartarus, to hold captive in Tartarus. So all of this is, we would just call it hell in our modern vernacular. So God anoints Peter, gives Peter a vision to give us a picture of what happened to these angels. They are cast into a dimension where there are chains of darkness. Now, they're not literal, you know, chains with links on them, but the darkness has a hold on them, and they can't escape that darkness. But they're not trapped in that dimension. They just can't move up into the dimension that they came from. Their chains are, as the prophet refers to it here in the Bible, mists of darkness. In other words, they can't see as they once could. They once had more vision when they were in the presence of light. They can see shadows and forms, but they can't see what you and I see this morning. They can't find your name on the book. They can't see the book. But you can. They are in a dimension that's right next to the four dimensions that you and I now live in. And they are banned from his presence into a dimension that becomes Satan's headquarters. Chains of darkness, absence of the full truth. They're dwelling in confusion, agony, uncertainty, no foundation. Everything's falling. In that place, you don't know where you are. It's a condition of confusion and stumbling and darkness. God delivered them to where they are reserved for something that's going to take place down the road. They cannot repent. They cannot ever get out on their own. They're stuck. No happy ending. No hope. That's not you this morning, though. 2 Peter 2:17. These are wells without water. Well, what's the point of a well if there's no water in it? It means it can't satisfy your thirst. It means it's an illusion. It means it's posing as a well. But if it really was a well, it'd have water in it. Amen. Clouds that are carried with a tempest. Well, we're familiar with that during this monsoon season. They just pass on by. It's like, what good is a cloud if it isn't going to let go? To whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Wells, big mouths, but no water of life. No healing, no deliverance, no substance, no satisfying portion, no life. Why? Because they left the truth. They had not a love of the truth. They despised the truth. They loved darkness more than light. They despised the light. Jude writes in the same terminology, but then he takes it from what happened to angels to what happens in human beings. Never to leave this state of apostasy. They will never see through the mist. They will never see clearly. That dimension presses in on the four dimensions that we now live in and begins to show its identity here on the earth. And that dimension will ultimately completely empty out onto this earth. And it's already showing us signs of what things are like in that other dimension. If some that are living carnally in the first four dimensions are taking a look at what's in that fifth dimension, friends, well, that tells me that there are people that are in the first four dimensions that are walking in the spirit and not after the flesh, and they are taking a look on what is in the sixth dimension, where those that sleep in Christ presently are, what we call heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we know that we have a spirit body, not an angel, but we have a spirit body. We call it the theophany. A heavenly body is waiting for us in that sixth dimension. It's real. It exists. It's a place. And we are now, I want you to think about this morning, friends. Think about it hard. Depression, I want you to think about this. Is that theophany depressed? What realm is influencing you this morning? If you are born from above, if you have a position in heavenly places, what is anointing you this morning? Your theophany. Amen? The sixth dimension. Yes. Those demons in the fifth dimension still have access. But which is greater? Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Don't struggle this morning. I'm trying to help you. Don't smile. You ought to be the happiest person on the planet. We have a heavenly representation. And we are waiting for the change of the body. Paul told us that. We're not making something up. Paul said we have a body celestial, we have a body terrestrial. We have a heavenly body, we have an earthly body. He said, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting. Not one that's going to be formed, is waiting. Why? Because God knew that you would step into that body. We heard from the word, if you will, and we left the world. We heard from our theophany and we left the things of the world. Instead of being under the influence of a demon this morning, friends, you are now under the influence of your heavenly representation, your theophany. And it's not discouraging. listen, friends, if I go there and somebody's discouraged, I'm going to realize I went to hell. If I go there and there's a liar there, I went to hell. Come on, church. Let God set you free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. First John chapter 1, verse 5. John says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all." Darkness is not a creation, but it's a perversion of the light. It's an absence of light, but it's posing as light. It's declaring itself to be light, but it's not. God is rich in mercy this morning, friends. God's not willing that any should perish, and he's made a way for whosoever will. So we don't have to stay in darkness. We can walk in the light. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. So, the shadow of death has passed from your soul. You had a shadow of death over your soul, but it's passed. The death angel has passed. There are still streaks, no doubt, of darkness concerning your flesh. But when that body change takes place, you will only be light. There'll be no shadow, no darkness, no turning. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. At one time, we all walked in the mist of darkness. And we might have enjoyed walking in sin for a season. We might have enjoyed drugs or alcohol or the ways of this world. But one day, the light struck that seed. That seed that was buried under all the humanity. And you responded, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." You didn't seek the light. The light sought you. The light knew that you were here. The word called you out of darkness, friends, to walk in the glorious light, the marvelous light. You heard, "Arise, shine, for your light is come. And now the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." It caused a resurrection. It caused you to rise from the dead, spiritually speaking, as the seed raised up in response to the creative voice of God, the Spirit of God brooding over you. God divided light from your darkness. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." I was once in darkness, but now I'm in the light. First John 2, 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. This is where rubber hits the road, friends. We don't play around with this. People become hostile towards the truth, and then they become hostile towards those that stand for the truth. And it's because the very same spirit that was on Cain is on them. They hate the light. They hate the truth. Verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Now, who's your brother? And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Well, if you're in the darkness, you'll stumble. But in the light, you can see where you're going. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Friends, we don't hate anyone. Let me say that again. We don't hate anyone. We hate sin, but not the sinner. We hate the deeds of the flesh, but not the sinner. The light shining in you reproves sin. The light shining in you will expose sin for what it is. And darkness hates to be exposed. So darkness will call light a hater. And yet they're the ones that hate. Isn't that always how it is? Oh, you're bigoted. You're the one that brought it up, not me. You're the one that's trying to say, make show all the differences. Pit one against the other. I say we're all the same big bouquet. God, a God of variety. So it's the light that others are drawn by, that light that's in you. That's why you need to not hide that light under a bushel, but place it up on a hill. Let it be a beacon, because it's that light that will bring others out of darkness, just as it did for you. You saw it first, and you were drawn by it. Those that hate, they're either anointed of the wicked one, or they are reprobates that are of that wicked one. Now, we're not going to judge. We don't know who is and who isn't. We pray that if somebody is anointed of the wicked one, that they'll come out from under that. But a born-again child of God, friends, is of the light and walks in the light as he is in the light. Now, we might, it's true, we might pull some out of the fire, hating the smoke and the filthy spiritual clothes that they're wearing, but we don't hate the sinner, which we all were at once. We pray for those that are in darkness. I don't wish that on anybody, do you? And it might be your light that breaks the chains of their darkness. You can't hate your brother, natural or spiritual, if you are under the influence of the sixth dimension. Now, I might add, I probably didn't point it out, but when Jesus came and preached to the souls that were in hell, and then when he came to gather together the Old Testament saints that were in that fifth dimension, which was called paradise, which was a section of Sheol, the upper section, he took them out of there into another dimension, right? So now hell has no fellowship with those that are redeemed of God. Are you listening? We can still be influenced by those that are in the fifth dimension. They can still, in some spiritual form, actually commune with people here on the earth. But if they're in the sixth dimension, they can't. They don't. They're in another dimension. You say, well, what about Brother Branham? He visited them through vision. So let me just put it to you this way, okay? If somebody that you think is a saint comes and visits you, you know they went to hell. We know the Witch of Endor could visit, different ones could visit. We know that what we call the occult, people that actually have a gift to be able to see in that other dimension, but gifts and callings are without repentance. They're communing with lost souls. You say, what about Saul? Saul was still in that dimension. But then that dimension emptied out. So you don't find Saul doing it in the New Testament. Are you with me? So what I'm trying to get to you is that there's influences from the sixth dimension. There's influences from the fifth dimension. I didn't say visitation from the sixth dimension. I said influence, right? If you are born from above, you are influenced by that sixth dimension. You are no, and there's no darkness in that dimension. So, we pray for those that are in darkness. And as we said, it might be your light that breaks the chain of their darkness. We can't hate. And yet, some people hate with more passion than they can love. The mist of darkness is still over their soul. Now, friends, we all feel the effects of the mist of darkness in our day, surely. Fallen angels that once had a position in the sixth dimension, they now have a position in the fifth dimension. One of them is nervous. One of them is in charge of bringing cancer, perhaps, or different forms of cancer. They live in fear. They squabble and they fuss. And they cannot come out of it. It's like being in a dream that you can't wake up from, a bad dream. They can't run to mom and cry out for help. And we are rubbing shoulders with these spirits daily. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the church says. So we don't have to live that way. If you don't know that, I hope you're hearing this morning. We don't have to live that way. Our flesh can prosper in health even as our soul prospers. Our spirit can prosper in health even as our soul prospers. Demons still have access to the physical realm. Demons still have a right to come against the spirit of man to try to tempt you, to come against the flesh of man to try to put sickness on you. But they cannot touch that soul. Amen. But one day, friends, they will be bound by some additional chains of circumstance. When the redeemed come back to the earth in a millennial reign, in a honeymoon with Christ and his bride, the fifth dimension will be locked up for a season from the other four dimensions. The fifth dimension will be told, sit down, shut up, watch for 1,000 years. Watch sons of God ruling and reigning. You can't tempt, you can't influence. But friends, a child of God doesn't have to wait for the millennium to cast out demons and to walk with the Lord in the light. We have the position this morning. We have the authority this morning. We have the power this morning to overcome evil in this hour. And we aren't going to conquer the political world. And we're not trying to conquer the political world. And we're not worried about it. But what about the world that you and I live in every day? What about the atmospheres that are around you every day? We don't live under the chains of darkness. We don't live under the mists of darkness. We have been delivered to walk in the light as he is in the light. And we have been delivered to walk in a more abundant light and a more abundant life in Jesus Christ. There's no shadow, no turning. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will be depressed and complain about it. I will rejoice. And I will be glad in it. This is the week of the devil's defeat. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Kingdoms at war. As the musicians come this morning. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice.
I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Now, put some feeling into it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, yes, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Such a beautiful life. Walk where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, light of the world. And again, yes, we'll walk in the light. Beautiful lights, marvelous. Mercy our bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, light of the world.
Amen. He said he'd be a lamp unto our feet. Is that right? Friends, it is true that there are times when we can't see much further than our feet. But that's why he showed you the end. It's for those times. He showed you how this works out. He shows you the end of the story. You can go right to the back of the book. We win, he loses. We all live happily ever after. We go to a great honeymoon, a great wedding feast. And that's to help you in those times where you can't see past your long toenails. You don't despair. You say, okay, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I know my destination. And I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I committed my soul into his hands. And I say, no matter what circumstance, whatever situation, it is well with my soul. It may not be well with my flesh all the time. It may not be well with my spirit, but it is well with my soul. And one day it will be well with every part of me. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Walk where the dew drops. Oh, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus. Amen. Let's put a verse up there. All ye saints, Jesus, the light of the world, life and mercy in his name. Jesus, light of the world. Oh, we'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, light of the world. Oh, hear the Savior's earnest call. Jesus, light of the world. Send the light. Hallelujah. Jesus, light of morning, friends.